This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders on this third Sunday in Advent. Conducting our service today is the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Information on how to order copies of today's service will be given at the close of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
Let me ask you a question. Does a message of Christmas have any practical spiritual help for you? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. As we draw close to the celebration of the birth of our Lord, Holy Spirit, we pray that you will work in our hearts, that you will cause us to understand that here are the answers to all of our questions that we ask so often, what shall we do? We turn to every single place in our environment for answers, and yet many times none are forthcoming. Give us the humility to bow at the manger, to look into the face of that Lord, and to realize what blessings he has for our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Gospel for the third Sunday in Advent is recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 7. It reads as follows. John said to the crowd coming out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. What should we do then? The crowd asked. Jesus answered, The man with two tunics should share with him who has none, and the one who has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. Teacher, they said, what shall we do? Don't collect any more than you are required to, he told them. And then some soldiers asked him, And what should we do? He replied, Don't extort money and don't accuse people falsely. Be content with your pay. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Christ. John answered them, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. And with many other words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. Here ends the reading of the Gospel for this third Sunday in Advent. Friends in Christ, what should I do? That is a question of a desperate person trying to find an answer. It can happen early in life. A child, for example, might have been very disobedient, and he realized that soon his father and his mother were going to know about it, and his question would be, then what shall I do? Or you grow up and you go into a particular work, and pretty soon you're found to be unfaithful to your husband or your wife. The evidence will soon bear fruit, and you will be caught in your act of unfaithfulness. And the husband or the wife says, Then what shall I do? The politician presents himself before his people as a very honest individual trying to do the very best for them in Washington or at the capital of his state or in the city council. And suddenly it becomes known that this politician's dishonesty for personal gain is very certain. And while he knows that this is coming, he doesn't know. So he asks himself the question, what shall I do? What is my best way to handle this. It is asked again and again because we often find ourselves confronted with the question and not knowing the answers. Now, as a part of this text for the third Sunday in Advent, in preparation for the celebration of the birth of our Lord, John the Baptist is talking about this matter. And so, as he stands out there in the wilderness preaching, and the crowds come and listen to him, many of them ask the question, "What shall we do?" And John the Baptist looked at some who came. They must have been pretty well dressed. And he looked at them and said, "I tell you what you ought to do. You ought to give some of your goods to the poor. And let me be more specific. If you have two tunics, why don't you give one to the person who doesn't have any?" In other words, here was an answer to their question, "What shall I do?" And then came the tax collectors. And he looked at them and they asked the question, "Okay, John the Baptist, we've heard your preaching, but we want to ask you, what shall we do?" And he turned to them and said, very simply, "Stop overcharging those from whom you are to get tax money. Give them a break. Don't steal from them in order that you might become more wealthy." And then the soldiers were standing by, and they came up and asked the same thing, "What shall we do?" And John the Baptist turned and said, "You know, why don't you stop asking for a little extra in order that you do not in any way discipline them? You'll bribe them. Stop doing it. What shall we do?" The years went by, and we find ourselves in Jerusalem 50 days after Easter. It's Pentecost, and the people have come from their various parts of their little world. And Peter has just stood up and preached, for he wanted them to know that the Christ whom they crucified, God had raised from the dead. And the people asked, thousands of them, "Peter, what shall we do?" And the days went by, and a person by the name of Saul of Tarsus was converted, and he became known as Paul, and he was out preaching in the city of Philippi, and one day they imprisoned him because he had preached and caused a lot of disturbance, they said, in that city, and so he and his friend Silas were in the inner cells. And as they sat there, they sang all kinds of hymns, and the jailer was wondering, "What's the matter with these fellows? They've got something that I don't have, perhaps." Then there was an earthquake, and the gates flew open. The prison cells were wide open for the prisoners to go out. And the jailer, realizing that he would be punished for letting them go, was about to kill himself when Paul and Silas said, "Stop!" And the jailer turned to them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Interesting. What must I do? What must I do? What must I do? Is a question that has been asked through the ages. You might ask the question, how did they come to learn about their sins? What were the circumstances? Well, the people who listened to John the Baptist evidently were rather indifferent to the poor. Now, that meant that they were people who lacked love for other people. Just as long as I'm getting what I need, that's all that is really necessary. They found that in the preaching of John the Baptist, they were confronted with the kind of a person they really were. It was without a doubt preaching about the law of God. And the tax collector, he must have found too that he, together with the soldiers who accepted the bribes, were really concerned about money, just that I could get a little bit more. In other words, it was the preaching of God's word that brought them to that real conviction of, I've got to do something about this. So John answers them. And his answer could be a little bit confusing if taken out of place. For example, he said to them, do this and do that. Luke in his gospel said he exhorted them and then he preached the good news to them. What is the good news? The good news is he pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. In other words, if John's text is taken just literally, they say, here comes a man with a beautiful tunic, and he said, what shall I do? And John says, well, the answer to your guilt question is, share your tunics. Or to the soldiers and to the tax collectors, give up some of your money. As if to say, by their works, they could get over this guilt. This is a temptation at this time of the year. I'm sure your mailbox is filled with the same kind of letters that mine is, asking for this cause and that cause, and we take a look at it, and we say, yeah, that organization really does a lot of good, and I'm going to give a few dollars. I'm going to help feed the starving children of the world. In other words, my works will finally take away my guilt and answer my question, what shall I do? That is not what John the Baptist was trying to tell them. He was trying to tell them this, and John records that if you get that whole message in its totality, John says to them, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. So reconstructing how that must have happened that day when they asked the question, he said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away your sin of stealing, your sin of bribery, your sin of self-centeredness and not being concerned about the poor and those who don't have. That's not it. But you go to the Lord Jesus. You kneel and look at his face. You hear him say to you, I grant unto you the forgiveness of your sin. That's the answer. Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. And so it was for Peter. Remember when they came sorrowing about their sin, wondering what they should do? Now that the Christ had been raised from the grave, what does Peter do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. First, turn your life over to Christ. Enter into a personal relationship with him. And that whole matter of repentance has with it a sorrow for sin, a turning from sin, a confession of sin, a receiving of Jesus Christ as the one who can take away your sins, and then a new life. That's what it's all about. When the Philippian jailer turned to Paul and said, what shall I do? Paul said to him, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. Jesus is the answer. And that's what we're talking about in this Advent season. We really have a lot to talk about, because how often are we not really asking this question, what shall I do? And we don't have the answer. It certainly is not work righteousness, but it is turning to the babe of Bethlehem's manger, to the cross, to the resurrection. He is the answer. Then our lives get straightened out. You know, when you take a look at this marvelous part of God's word, and you stop and think of how we need him, how we need an answer for this as far as our nation is concerned, the answer is not found on either side of the aisle. The answer is found by humbling ourselves and saying, Lord Jesus, Will you help us? Will you be with us in this Christmas season and throughout the year? Speak to our hearts, Lord. Oh, if the leaders of our land could have a time every day, together as those who are directing the people of this land, let the chaplains be there. Let God's word speak and see what would happen. I can hear somebody say, it is so impractical. It just will never work. We've got unbelievers. We've got those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus as Savior. What would you do? It may be impractical. It may not work because of circumstances. But I tell you, people, the message of the Christian faith has still got to be faithful to what the Lord has said. The only answer for the turmoil that we find ourselves in this world, is not found in the minds of the best of our legislators. It is found when Jesus Christ has an opportunity to tell them what to do with the poor in the world, what to do with the enemy, what to do with those who we have been killing. How shall we change that in the future? Haven't we learned that we don't have the answers, but Jesus Christ is the answer? How we need to rethink this as far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned. Are we really pointing to Christ? Do we think that wise people who stand in the pulpit in and of themselves have the answer? Except that which is found in Jesus Christ, we do not have the answer. What about those who have high positions in administration? Do they have the answer? Only if they point us to Jesus Christ. The Church of Jesus Christ in this Advent season needs a spiritual awakening where we can preach the message of a John the Baptist, repent, where we can point the good news of a John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God. He takes away the sins of the world. How we need this message in our homes, in our individual lives, that we are not adequate. That's hard to say, isn't it, to some people? Sometimes hard to say to ourselves, I am not adequate. Well, we aren't adequate, friend. We are not adequate. But Jesus Christ is. Perhaps right now, we need to have an awakening in our own soul where we let the Holy Spirit really search us out and empower us to say afresh and anew, come, Lord Jesus, come into my life and make me a brand new person in this Christmas season. Amen.
Yeah.
our Heavenly Father, give us the courage of a John the Baptist to proclaim this truth. Give us the humility of a Peter to receive it and say, I have sinned. Give us, O God, the zeal of a Paul who never tired trying to immerse the lives of his hearers with the gospel, that we may not only point out the sin that is found in ourselves or in others, but that we may point to you, Lord Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. For it is in your name we pray and celebrate Christmas. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. As you prepare to celebrate the birth of our Lord, it is our prayer that today's message has brought you peace and joy. During this busy Advent season, let us take time to give thanks for the greatest gift of all, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by the financial gifts of our listeners. We are especially grateful for our Gift Every Month GEM Club members. These regular gifts sustain our ministry during quiet giving times. Your support allows us to deliver biblical truths to those who could not attend church. Today's service is also available to be read or heard on the internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusaders sermons are available in our sermon library. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. That's christiancrusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and Radio Pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 71st year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.